After 4 weeks, we finally get to Mary. Listen, this is from the first chapter of Luke, starting with the 26th verse. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month for her, who was said to be barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. This story, it never gets old for me. I find it miraculous. It kind of wraps around me like a Christmas quilt. And I just want to sip hot chocolate when I read this story. And the first few verses, let me say, this story and the first few verses of Luke chapter 2. "In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered." And with just those few verses, I don't really need anything else. I don't need Elizabeth, Zechariah, Joseph's decision making. I get all the important stuff for me right here. Or do I? This Advent, we've been stretching ourselves. We've been listening to our nativity stories through the lens of a Jewish professor of the New Testament. We've opened ourselves to new learning and new listening. And today is the same. But first, let me tell you a different story. I've shared it with you before. A man is bent low over the ground at night in the soft glow of a lamppost. He is quite obviously looking for something. And a woman passing by asks, "Have you lost something?" "Yes. My keys," he says. "Did you lose them here?" "No," he says. "I lost them over there, but there's light here." I think we have a great tendency to treat our faith like this. We want to force it into the light and lay our hands upon it and raise it aloft triumphantly, but faith can't really be grabbed hold of and possessed like lost and found keys. It's like water, moving, changing. It's like living water. We often treat our Christmas stories like that, though. Like we'll bring them out into the little circles of light where we've always had them. But this Advent, we're venturing off of the beaten path. There is other light out there. Like this story that you've probably never heard before. It's from the Gospel of James. "And behold, an angel of the Lord stood by Saint Anne, saying, 'Anne, the Lord has heard your prayer, and you shall conceive and shall bring forth, and your seed shall be spoken of in all the world.' And Anne said, as the Lord my God lives, if I beget either male or female, I will bring the child as a gift to the Lord my God, and my child shall minister to God in the holy things all the days of its life. And so from the time she was three, Mary was in the temple of the Lord as if she were a dove that dwelt there. And when Mary was 12 years old, there was held a council of priests saying, "Behold, Mary has reached the age of 12 years in the temple of the Lord. What then shall we do with her, lest perchance she defile the sanctuary of the Lord?" And they said to the high priest, "You stand by the altar of God. Go in and pray concerning Mary, and whatever the Lord shall manifest to you, that also will we do." So the high priest prayed concerning Mary, and behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, saying, "Zechariah, Zechariah, go out and assemble the widowers among the people, and let them bring each his staff, and to whomsoever the Lord shall show a sign, his wife, Mary, shall be." And when Joseph came before the priest, the staff that he carried burst into flower. And so the priest said to Joseph, "You are chosen to take into your keeping the virgin of the Lord." But Joseph refused, saying, I have children and I'm an old man and she's a young girl." And then later, we pick the story up again after Joseph has taken Mary home to protect her, to love her. And Annas the scribe came to Joseph and saw that Mary was with child. And he ran away to the priest and said to him, "Joseph, whom you did vouch for, has committed a grievous crime." And the priest said, "How so?" And he said, "Joseph has defiled the virgin whom he received out of the temple of the Lord and has married her by stealth." And the priest said, "Mary, why have you done this? And why have you brought your soul low and forgotten the Lord your God?" And she wept bitterly, saying, "As the Lord my God lives, I am pure before him, and I have not known a man." Well, that's a different light on the story, isn't it? This story is from the Gospel of James, and the church fathers decided it did not belong in our Bible, so many of us have never heard it. But in it, we learned that Mary was the long-prayed-for child of Anne and Joachim, that from her birth, she was dedicated to God and lived in the temple, that when she matured into a young woman, she could no longer stay in the temple because her bleeding would defile the place. So they looked for men, an older man, who would take Mary into his home but have no relations with her. And she became pregnant by the Holy Spirit. And even though she had been dedicated to God her whole life, raised in the temple, it surprised everyone that God should choose her to bring about the birth of the Messiah. You know what's really cool to me about this story is how it sits in contrast with the story in Luke. Because in the Gospel of James, a young temple virgin conceives the child of the Holy Spirit. Her whole life was preparation for this. In Luke's story, God conceives a child with a simple young woman from a town so small that its name doesn't appear in any ancient writings until the gospel writers try to describe where it is. Tiny Nazareth in Galilee. So what does that tell me? You don't have to be royalty or clergy or wealthy or powerful or anything at all to carry the light of God. If Mary could do it, we all can do it, biology notwithstanding. Thank you, Luke. But not everybody wraps themselves in this story as if it were a Christmas quilt. Not everyone finds it suitable for hot chocolate and Christmas cookies. Some people hate it. Well, they hate things about it. Here's one. This is an article that appeared in 2016. It's about the song, Mary, Did You Know? You know that song, right? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Your baby boy would give sight to a blind man? Your baby boy would calm the storm with his hand? Mary, did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? And when you kiss your little baby, you have kissed the face of God. I love that song. For me, it expands and enhances the miracle. And I believe expanding and enhancing our experience of God is a good thing. But listen to this article from 2016. Mary, did you know? You're everything wrong with American Christians. And this is how it starts. This is not me. This is an article. December 5th, 2016. Okay, Mary's not what's wrong with American Christians, but Mary, did you know, is. You know the song, that terrible, overplayed, evangelical Christmas song? That if you have ever read Luke 1, the Magnificat, you would know that clearly this woman who is chosen to carry the Savior of the world in the most dramatic and possibly most ridiculous way of all time did know, leaving the song as one long mansplaining episode by the writer Mark Lowry. This is the article. Listen. I know it's got a pretty melody, and Pentatonix made a video of it in a cave, and it made you cry. I get it. And I'm sorry, because the reality is it's the most ridiculous song I've ever heard. And even more than that, this song is everything that is wrong with American Christians. First, it's patriarchal. We've missed the fact that the news that Mary gets through this angel is that her body is about to be violated. She will become pregnant without her consent. She is to carry the child, and she is to name him Jesus, and she has no choice. Second, it's proof texting. According to sources, the song was written as a script for a Christmas play. These were questions Mark Lowry would like to ask Mary. The questions were to be asked between scenes of the play. It seems to me, says the author of the article, that would be the shortest Christmas play ever. Mary, did you know? Yes, yes, I did. And rap. Third, it's emotionally manipulative. Listen, I've been there. I've been the sweet young girl who soloed Mary, Did You Know? In front of a congregation because they wanted to see innocence personified. The song appeals to the maternalization of Mary. We so easily, the article continues, we so easily make the story of Jesus's conception and birth about starry nights and a beautiful, quiet, sleeping baby in a perfect family. We so easily forget the emphasis that Jesus had a human birth, which means it was messy. The author then goes into detail and ends this way. So let's get it straight. American Christians, for the love of all that is holy, literally, Can we stop pressuring each other into pretending that Mary wasn't scared? Can we stop pretending that she didn't know for one second the risk her son would go through? She knew the world better than anyone, and despite all the BS she had been put through, not only did she know, she said, yes, God love her. The end. And by now, my hot chocolate has gone cold, and all the chocolate has settled into a dark sludge at the bottom of the cup, and I feel a chill I just can't get rid of despite my Christmas quilt, and I want to attack the writer of this article like he's attacked Mark Lowry. I want to assure the writer that they could have been much kinder about all of this. Even if the author is technically right, they could have held the door open for mystery and miracle. Yes, a main point for us in this story should be that Mary said yes. Despite everything she did and didn't know, Mary said yes. But I like the way Jesus puts it better. In this same Gospel of Luke, in chapter 11, Jesus was healing people and casting out evil spirits. And while he was doing this, a woman in the crowd raised her voice to him. Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast that nursed you. But Jesus said, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. My words now. Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast that nursed you. But Jesus said, it's not about me or even about my mother whom I love. It is about all of those who, like my mother, hear the word of God and obey it, who say yes. And there, my friends, is our entire nativity story. Not the only one, but certainly one. All of us can hear the invitation of God, the invitation to follow Jesus and say yes. Despite all we know or don't know. Karen, did you know? No, Lord, not really. But I wanted to say yes. And I want to end by taking you back to that story of the man searching for his keys in the light. Not searching where he lost his keys, but searching where there is light. You know, it's really not such a ridiculous story. It's not efficient what he's doing. He's not likely to have much success in the dark, is he? We thrive in the light of truth, the light of goodness, the light of love. We might lose some things here and there, but they might be things we need to lose. And in the light, we may find new things, especially if we are searching under the light of love. I mean, take these nativity stories. What if the person who wrote that condemning article about Mary, did you know, had thought, I've got a lot of things to say about this song, but before I start typing, I'm going to move over here into this light, the Christmas light. And, oh, what a beautiful melody. And, oh, didn't he capture the mystery so well? And now I remember hearing Megan sing Mary, Did You Know? When she was carrying Lucy. And didn't I have chills? And maybe Mark Lowry has as much right to put the nativity into poetry as Luke did. And Matthew. and James and Zechariah and Mary. And maybe Advent isn't about all the knowing and the exposing and the calling out. Maybe it's about catching the light ourselves and then casting it back out in a way that allows others to find what they've lost, what they're needing in the light of love. Amen.